This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمد ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters, continuing with our motivation and talk surrounding Hajj. The ayat which I have recited is in second supara of the Holy Quran, which of course is quite interesting. Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Hajj has specific months. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجْ Upon whomsoever Hajj becomes farz, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ So in Hajj, they must bear in mind there must be no guna and sin, no immorality and no disputes and arguments. Now this is very interesting that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although fusuq, transgression covers all types of sins. It even covers disputes and arguments, fighting, immorality. But Allah Ta'ala specifically makes mention of these two because in interaction there are certain things that happen and certain challenges that come about. And among the challenges is the aspect of the two which Allah Ta'ala specifically mentions, immorality and fighting. So I think it's very important that we keep ourselves far away from disputes and arguments. Allah Ta'ala does not like arguments. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا Do not argue and dispute amongst yourself. فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رِحُكُمْ You will become weak and Allah Ta'ala will take away your strength. And that's the reality of the Ummah today. That because of our infighting, we have become weak, we have become cowards, and our strength has become dissipated. And that is what Allah Ta'ala says with regard to fighting. Many a times people also speak about, you know, my haqq. I always tell people with regard to your haqq, if ever think there is a haqq about things, then our haqq is Jannat. We always fight with regard to many things. We're always fighting about inheritance. We're fighting about our haqqs with different family scenarios. And sometimes we are fighting with regard to inheritance, etc. Yeah, our inheritance, our greatest inheritance is Jannah because our forefather came out of Jannah. So if we want to fight, we must fight for Jannah. And many times people feel, I don't want to say that whether people must pursue something, not pursue something, that's an individual decision depending upon circumstances. But I will relate a hadith of Abu Dawood Sharif. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمَرَى وَهُوَ مُحِقٌ I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for a person who walks away from an argument while he is correct. Now the fact that he is right or wrong is germane to the issue. The point is that you walked away from an argument which Allah doesn't like. And because of that, Allah Ta'ala guarantees you a house in Jannah. So I think it's important that in Hajj in particular, yesterday Mawla Suhail mentioned that, you know, sometimes when people are hungry and it's hot and you get frustrated, you have to walk, you're tired, you can have situations of, you know, building up of frustration and anger, which can manifest itself upon the wrong person. So let's just be careful with regard to it. And talking about, inheritance, is this very, humorous incident. Let me make mention of it. They say a person was sitting a little bit despondent. So the Imam asked him and he said, now, why are you despondent? What's going wrong with you? He said, things are tough. And I'll just give you a scenario of my situation. 6 months ago, I heard, that my great-grandfather had left land in India. How is everyone sending their land in India? So I didn't know about it, but anyway, the land was sold and I got a whole lot of money that came out of that particular share of ours. From my family share, I got couple of 100,000. And he said, then what happened? He said, well, that happened a year ago, 6 months ago from my mother's side. Her great grandparents, their land got sold. And that land was sold, and I got a couple of hundred, you know, grand from there also. So they also said, why are you despondent? He said, they after know what died. Nevertheless, now let us also continue with the Hajj of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We made mention of the various stops that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, the different incidents that took place in the different stops. One stop that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made was in Usfan. Right? And Usfan was a place where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he stopped there, he said, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past, Hazrat Hud alayhi salam, and Salih alayhi salatu wasalam read Talbiyah from Usfan. So this is where our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also stopped. And Salih alayhi salatu wasalam's qabr is in Saudi Arabia, Madain. So we find that Salih alayhi salatu wasalam was from this particular region. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Tabuk, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed the place where the tribe of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam was destroyed, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rushed through that place, saying that the place where Allah Ta'ala's adab comes, we should not remain there for a long period of time. And a similar, there is a place which now I don't think the people really know, but I think the local people know about it. When you're going from Muzdalifah to Mina, where Abraha was destroyed, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made his Hajj, also Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rushed through that place a lot on the same pretext and the same reason. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also stopped at Abwa. Now Abwa is also significant. It is a place where our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother passed away. There is a weak riwayat that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a trip to the qabr of the mother. I'm not sure if it was in this occasion or another occasion. And of course, it's something that always, sometimes you think about it, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought up our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what circumstances before he was born, his father passed away, and at the ripe age when you need your mother, at the age of 6, mother brought him to Madinah Munawwara because her family was from that particular place. And on the way, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother and Umm Ayman, also known as Baraka. Now many people might not be aware, Umm Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha was from Africa. She was a woman from Africa. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call her my mother. My mother, because when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother passed away, ya Allah, at the age of 6, your mother passing away in a foreign place while you are in a journey, what great amount of difficulty would have been upon our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Umm Ayman brought Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Makkah. Therefore Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to her as my mother. So nevertheless, and perhaps one of the reasons the ulama give with regard to it is that parents have a very great influence in the upbringing of children. Could be positive, could be negative. And no one even thinks that it could have been negative in Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's situation. But some of the ulama have made mention that Allah Ta'ala intervened directly upon the upbringing of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala supervised the upbringing of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there was no parents. And Allah Ta'ala himself oversaw the upbringing of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, these are things that come up while we're speaking about various issues. Until Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, the Tawatua. The Tawatua is always on the outskirts of Makkah, not very far from Makkah. Now this you will find in the seerah, very interesting. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever he traveled and he came back to Medina, or when he came, like for this instance in Makkah, just at a short distance from the destination, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped. And one of the reasons that comes to mind, and our ulama have made mention, is like, for example, that time there was no mass communication. So people didn't know when the Prophet of Almighty Allah, the companions, are coming back. There was no, you know, WhatsApp, and there was no different types of situation. We are coming and arriving on this particular flight. No one knew anything. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes back to Medina Munawwara, always, almost always, he stopped on the outskirts of Medina. Although it was like few kilometers, could have gone directly into Medina. Stopped. Camped there the night. Because that time people didn't know. And of course that time we didn't have a sophisticated perhaps way of living. So that when people came to know that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the companions, are here, then the people of the house could have made the necessary arrangements and the necessary preparations for their husbands coming back or for the family members coming back. Such an amazing thing. So we in today's time, we don't have that scenario, but of course what we can learn from the essence of Sunnah, that inform your family members when you are coming back. You know, inform your family members that, listen, I'll be around 10, 11 o'clock at night, I'll be coming back. You know, don't take it for granted. They also will be waiting. So we learn this from the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We always stop just a few kilometers away from his destination. They say the 5 minutes. You ever heard about the 5 minutes? The 5 minutes of the wife saying she'll be ready in 5 minutes. And the husband said, I'll be home in 5 minutes. That 5 minutes is the same. I'll be home in 5 minutes and I'll be ready in 5 minutes. That 5 minutes are the same. Nevertheless, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes mid-morning. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes into Makkah Mukarrama, makes the tawaf, makes Safa Marwa. Immediately he starts. Normally, in every time we come to the masjid, we read Tahiyatul Masjid. But in the Haramain, the first thing you do is go make tawaf. You make tawaf. In Medina, for example, our ulama tell us, go make Tahiyatul Masjid. Then you go to the Roza. The greatest Tahiyatul Masjid in the Haramain is you go and make tawaf. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately made tawaf. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached Makkah on the 4th of Zulhijjah. We made mention, when did he leave Medina? 26. 8 days. SubhanAllah. 8 days it took him. Now even 1 hour delayed, we get perturbed. 8 days it took Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the various stops which I have made mention. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam afterwards stayed in a place called Ba'tha or Hajjun, which was on the upper, you see, you get Misfada. The word Misfada means the lower section. So that's what we call Misfada. So anyone knows that the one that is going down from the Haramain, that is Misfada, where the old hospital used to be. We call it Misfada. So this used to be on the other side, where Ajiyad is. On the other side is now the higher section. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained there in a tent that was prepared for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there were certain people who brought the camels and the animals to be slaughtered, to be sacrificed in the Haramain. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them not to remove the ihram. Some people who didn't bring animals, so they were like in the form of tamattu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them to come out of the ihram and then to make another, what we would like, similar to our situation. And I sometimes wonder how the wisdom of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He knew different situations will come upon the ummah, so he took, you know, he made preparations and arrangements for all types of people. Those who are making kiran, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made kiran. Those who are making tamattu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's daughter, Hazrat Fatima, made tamattu. And there's a very interesting incident about that. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who came from Yemen, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him as a qazi. So when he was coming from Yemen to the Hajj, he came directly from Yemen to Hajj. And when he came there, he said he made the intention, I'm making the intention of Hajj, the same Hajj that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made. He didn't know what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made, he said the same intention I'm making. So when he came to Makkah and he entered the tent of his wife Fatima, he saw her that now she's out of ihram, she had combed her hair and she was like, you know, decently. And he got angry with her. He said, aren't you supposed to be in Hajj? And she said, no, my father told me I must come out of ihram. So he went to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, I told her this because she did not bring the animals for sacrifice. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then stayed the 3 days. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who has written the Fazail-e-Amal has also written a book on Hajjatul Wida, very interesting book. And in there he has written that Nabi Karim Sallallahu didn't make any Umrah in that 3 days. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu remained in Ihram. Now you can imagine 8 days, then the 3 days, then the other 3 days. So 11, 14 days Nabi Karim Sallallahu was in Ihram. Nabi Karim Sallallahu remained until, of course, he came to Mina, as we made mention. And then in Mina, Nabi Sallallahu read the 5 times daily Salat. I said on the night of Mina, Surah Al-Mursalat was revealed. And then it was on Friday when Nabi Karim Sallallahu proceeded to Arafah. Allah has given us this good fortune that we are also making Hajj on Friday. It was also on Friday when our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu then went to Arafah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu reached in the, you know, in the valley, and a tent was put for our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu, which he remained there until after Zawal. And he came back, and he was on his camel. Even in Safa Marwa, Nabi Karim Sallallahu, at least, if not the entire, but a portion of it, Nabi Sallallahu made on camelback. And the reason for that was people wanted to see Nabi Karim Sallallahu. Everyone was following him. So to make it easy for the Ummah to see him, Nabi Karim Sallallahu made Safa Marwa, at least portion of it, on camelback, if not the entire Safa Marwa. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu came on Arafah, came down, and of course he delivered what we know as the farewell sermon. Now, of course, that farewell sermon is now placed in frames and placed in many a times in our lounges, in our businesses, in our foyers. And we take pride with regard to what our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the farewell sermon, how much it has actually penetrated in our hearts, Allah knows. But we find it, we find many a times people have it in frames, the farewell sermon of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And amongst the things that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam delivered at that time was that, oh people, listen to me carefully, you might not get an opportunity again to listen to me. That had such an impact upon the people, because the love for the Sahaba had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can never imagine. Sahaba say, we used to come back from a journey, we used to be so tired, and we used to rush to go and see the face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and our tiredness used to disappear. The fervor they had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was immense. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, you know, it had a great impact, and everyone started listening. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention of certain points very, very briefly. He said that, as long I'm leaving behind two things for you, as long as you remain steadfast upon it, you would not go astray. The Kitab of Allah and the Sunnat, my Sunnat, these are the two main aspects of our Sharia, the Kitab of Almighty Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also made mention of certain evils that were entrenched in the society at that time. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there are two things that I want to abolish today. Right? One is that people used to take a great amount of blood money for things that were done, or people were killed, etc., and blood money, and it was a very complicated way which used to result in revenge and revenge upon revenge, and that revenge used to go on for years. And I went to the Pakhtun area once when we were studying. So when I came past there, I saw that, you know, in the different houses there, on top of it they had, like, you know, people who were sitting with their guns, and people they had a place for firearms. So I said, what is this? They said, this is the Pakhtun area where the tribes, when they fight for generations. So this tribe and that tribe have got, you know, hostility, and therefore they keep guard against the tribes. So this used to happen. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I abolish this blood money. And the first blood money I abolish is the blood money that is owed to one of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's relatives. And he said, I abolish all interest that people have to pay. At that time, you know, we don't realize that interest was entrenched in the society, especially in Medina and Munawwara. And in Makkah Mukarramah, there were people who were influential who used to give loans on interest. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the first interest I abolish is the interest that is due to my uncle Abbas. I wipe it away. Any interest that is due to him, wiped away. Nothing. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first thing he did was, he abolished that interest and all those things. You see, they say that, you know, Islam, we must love Islam, then it will have an impact upon other people. Today we have Islam in the books, we don't love Islam. Therefore people can't be inspired by it because we're not loving it. Love it and then you will see. You know, I have a great concern that in South Africa, the way we interact with people of other faiths, we have not been able to make an impact because we haven't shown them the beauty of our deen. And nowadays the whole, ya Allah, the whole scenario and the mindset is, oh, have nothing to do with the non-Muslims and have nothing to do. I said we were in India. Our forefathers were Hindus, right? If we have this particular mindset that has been propagated within Muslims in South Africa, don't have anything to do with it, then how we would have become Muslims there in India? How we would have become Muslims? It was the mindset of the Sahaba to interact, to show people the beauty. That's how we became Muslims. And our forefathers became Muslims. Otherwise, we would have still been languishing, aliyalu billah, in kufr. So we, you know, I give this example of a lighthouse. A lighthouse just stands there and it gives light, you know. And it doesn't go to every boat to give light. That's how we are. We're supposed to be lighthouses, beacons of hidayat and guidance in terms of our akhlaq, in terms of our interaction. And throughout history, wherever Muslims went, whenever they came to a place, they interacted in such a way that they had such a great impact upon the local community that by and large, most of them became Muslims, whether it be Malaysia, Indonesia, West Africa. We are the ones that have not been able to maintain that legacy. Maybe we need to relook at it. Nevertheless, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then also spoke about the aspect of racial equality. Now there is a difference of opinion whether he narrated it at that time or he narrated it at the time of Mina. Later on, he gave various sermons. So in that sermon, of course, we all know, oh people, each one of you are born equal, right? And each of you come from one origin, one parents, from Adam and Hawa. And لا فضل لعربيين على عجميين ولا عجميين على عربيين. There is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab, or the non-Arab over the Arab, or the black over the white, or the white over the black. إلا على التقوى. Everyone is equal. And the only one who surges ahead is not on the basis of the color of his skin or his race or his tribe or his ethnicity. The only one who surges ahead is the one who surges ahead on the basis of his taqwa, his righteousness and his piety. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, now people will say I'm trying to emphasize this too much, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention and the word specifically with regard to fattaqullaha fin nisa, fear Allah with regard to your women folk. فَإِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. They have come into your nikah with the aman and the protection of Allah, and they have been made halal to you with the words of Allah. So when we make nikah, we take Allah's name. So they become halal because of Allah's words, therefore it is appropriate that you take Allah into account when dealing with her. Now why do you take Allah into account when dealing with her? Many a time, husband-wife's relationship and conversation happens behind closed doors. No one is watching. He's away from the gazes of people. You know, now Allah says, even in that situation, I am watching you. Take me into account when you're dealing with one another. The husband can say hurtful things, or the wife can say hurtful things to the husband, thinking that no one is watching, or no one is hearing. Allah is there. Fear Allah with regard to how you deal with one another. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave various advices, and some ulama say it took 12 minutes. Wallahu alam, but I read somewhere it took 12 to 15 minutes, that whole talk. But it was an ocean of knowledge. And then afterwards, I read it somewhere, I can't recall it, I could be subject to correction, but that's what it was. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you would be asked about me on the day of judgment. You would be asked whether I had fulfilled my responsibility in propagating Allah's message to you. What will you say? What will you say? Just a side incident. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, "Oh Abdullah, read Quran for me. Read Quran." So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ya Rasulullah, must I read Quran to you wa alayka unzil? It has been revealed to you. How can I read Quran to you?" So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Today I'm in a mood of listening." So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud read, and he said, "I came to an ayat. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِالشَّهِيدِ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا." And I looked at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his beard was wet with tears. That ayat speaks about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being a witness to the Anbiya of the past. That Allah will question the Anbiya of the past. I mean, not the Anbiya of the past and the people of the past. And they will lie on the day of Qiyamah and say, "Our Anbiya and our Nabis didn't give us the message." So the Anbiya of the past will say, "We gave the message." And Allah will ask them for evidence. And they will present them, Nabi of Allah, our Nabi, as the evidence. And this is what the ayat says. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "I went, I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam crying when this ayat came. And he put his hand upon my mouth. And he said, 'Enough, Abdullah, enough.'" You know? So this, the aspect of, you know, Allah Ta'ala asking the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam, is something that we learn from this incident. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, you will be questioned. What will you say? And they will say, they all said, "Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةَ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةَ وَنَسَحْتَ الْغُمَّةَ وَكَشَفْتَ الْغُمَّةَ." Oh Allah, and that is what we are supposed to read when we, you know, this is the significance of what we read when we come to, when we make salam to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. "Ya Rasulullah, you have fulfilled your responsibility, your amanat, and you have given us the best of advice. You have removed darkness, and you have given nasiyah to this ummah, and you have conveyed the message of Allah Ta'ala." And then when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard this, he took out his finger of shahadat and he lifted up towards the heaven. "Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad, oh Allah, may a testimony. These people have given evidence that I have conveyed your message to them." So this was, then afterwards Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, according to the historians, remained on his camel. Okay, everyone was seeing Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they say, you know, Allah knows, you know, sometimes there's historical aspects, they say for a couple of hours Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in a state of great anxiety, sometimes moving this side on the camera, sometimes this side, sometimes that side, and people could see the anxiety when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was making the dua in Arafat. For several hours he made the dua, and he made wukuf, or he made the dua, and I heard from an alim, which is such a beautiful thing, that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on every occasion used to make dua for the ummah. Right, we all know how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and of course we know that very famous khutbah of the Jummah khutbah, that you know, on the day of Qiyamah, that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will say, "Nafsi, nafsi." Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam will say, "Nafsi, nafsi, I don't intercede on anyone's behalf." It's only our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah will say, "Ummati, ummati, ma ummatan, ma ummat." So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for this ummah for several hours on the plains of Arafah. And anyone for whom the Nabi made dua for, anyone for whom the Nabi made dua for, and he cried, that person is not worthless. Every person of this ummah is valuable because the Nabi cried for us. Every person of this ummah is worthwhile and valuable because the Nabi cried. And anyone for whom the Nabi cried, they can never be useless. If only we can realize our potential. Nevertheless, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained there. And then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore, my dear respected, you know, I'm just, let me just go a little bit away, because you know, in our whole history, the main point with regard to Arafah is to turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Fuzail bin Ayaz was a very, very great Sufi, very famous Sufi, Fuzail bin Ayaz, rahmatullah alayhi. It was Fuzail bin Ayaz or Malik bin Dinar, right? I think it was Fuzail bin Ayaz. Now, Fuzail bin Ayaz also, one thing leads to another. Fuzail bin Ayaz was a notorious gangster. A notorious gangster. So notorious that when he came into any village, the village just left the village open for him. Take whatever you want. We can't respond to you and we can't confront you. So one day he came to a small village and one household remained in their place. So he stormed that house in anger, knowing I have come, they're still in the house. And there was a young girl who was reading an ayat of the Holy Quran when he stormed in. أَلَمْ يَعْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for believers to start fearing the one who created them? Has the time not come for believers that their heart should tremble in the remembrance of Allah for the one who created them? So Fuzail just stopped in his tracks. And he didn't move one step forward. That was the means of his tawbah, and he became one of the greatest Sufis in our history. So Fuzail bin Ayaz rahmatullah alayhi used to say, if so many people come to a generous person, so many people who are in Hajj comes to a generous person and ask the generous person to give them something which the wealthy person finds very insignificant. So say 1 million people goes to a person who is very wealthy and asks that, give me 100 riyals. Will the generous person reject them? And obviously everyone will say, I mean, 1 million people coming to a wealthy person for 100 riyals, how is he going to reject? Huh? So Fuzail bin Ayaz rahmatullahi alayhi says that on that day when you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, fear, have 100% certainty that Allah will forgive us. We are weak, our amal is weak. And in terms of our amal, you see the difference between Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan was what? What was the difference? Both of them were expelled from Jannah. Similar time. One, what did he say? Allah says in the 14th Supara, Rabbi bima agwaitani. Oh Allah, you led me astray. Huh? I was so superior and you had such a great rank by you, and because of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, I have been now reduced and I have been expelled. You know, so he didn't take responsibility for his deeds. He didn't take responsibility and he didn't acknowledge his wrong. He said, oh Allah, he put the blame somewhere else. And Adam alayhi salatu was salam, when he realized that he was being taken out of Jannah for whatever reason, we all know the incident, what did he say? He didn't say, Shaitan misled me. I didn't know that I was not supposed to eat from this tree. And this tree was somewhat different. And Shaitan told him certain things. One of the things Shaitan told him was that, eat from this tree, you will never die. When someone got a ni'mat, the greatest fear they have is that ni'mat must be taken away from me. That's the greatest fear you have. So Shaitan played upon this fear of a human being. That you are in Jannah, Allah might take you away. Eat from this tree, you won't be taken away. Wa mulki la yabla, 16th Supara of the Quran. So anyway, what did he say when he realized that he was with him? Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Oh Allah, I have done wrong. Wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna, and if you don't forgive me and have mercy upon me, I would be amongst the losers. So the difference between Shaitan and Adam alayhi salam, one didn't acknowledge his sins and one acknowledged his sins. So therefore we acknowledge our sins. We go in front of Allah and we make mention of all our sins. Allah, we have done this, we have done this. Allah, you forgive us. We don't come here. I always tell people, you know, we don't come here in Arafat to say, Ya Allah, how pious we are. Ya Allah, we spend so much money to come, Ya Allah. We don't go in front of Allah boasting about our accomplishments. We come to Allah Ta'ala asking and begging for forgiveness and mercy. I always tell people, and I heard this from ulama, that normally in every instance you ask for justice. In every instance you ask for justice. From Allah we don't ask for justice. From Allah we ask for mercy. If Allah Ta'ala were to treat us with justice, we will fail the test. How much He gave us and how much we give Him back in return. We will fail. We don't ask Allah for justice, we ask Allah for fazl. Oh Allah, we want your grace, we want your mercy. In Arafat, we are only going to cry for Allah's mercy. And we hope that inshallah, not only hope, we have full yaqeen inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will. They say, ulama have made mention that there must never be doubt in our du'as. There must never be doubt in our du'as. And the worst thing that you can do is to have doubts in your. Therefore, it is said that you must never ask Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, grant me this inshallah. So inshallah, you have inshallah in everything besides dua. Dua, you say, oh Allah, forgive me. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a person making dua, Allahumma khfirli in shit. Oh Allah, forgive me if you wish. How can you ask like that? In front of Allah, you don't ask, oh Allah, if you wish. You say, oh Allah, forgive me. I want forgiveness for you. I'm coming here. I expect you to forgive me, Allah. That's how we deal with this. You know, there's a very beautiful Urdu poem. I don't know if we don't understand Urdu, but Urdu is a very amazing language. But I will translate it. Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Ali. We all heard of Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Ali. So one day someone, you know, was related a poem in front of him. Agar bakhshe zahe kismat na bakhshe to shikayat kya sare taslim kham hai jo mizaj yaar mein aaye. Oh Allah, if you forgive us, we are fortunate. If you don't forgive us, who are we to complain? We submit to whatever decision you make. Maulana Thani Rahmatullah said, are you so interested to say such a poem? Then, Allah, if you forgive, we are fortunate. If you don't forgive, you won't accept. How can you say such a poem? He said, change that poem. Agar bakhshe zahe kismat, na bakhshe to karo zari. Oh Allah, if you forgive, we are fortunate. If you don't forgive, initially we're going to cry. We are going to cry. Agar bakhshe zahe kismat, na bakhshe to karo zari. I'm going to cry in front of it. Ke bande ki ye khwari, mizaj yaar mein kyun aaye? Why did you make this decision of not forgiving me? So that day we could have asked, we have expectation in Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Tafsir al-Kabir, Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi has written an incident that it was most probably as Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was going with a person and they crossed by a qabr. And in that qabr, Allah Ta'ala showed Hazrat Isa alayhi salam that the person of the qabr was being punished for his wrongdoings. So Isa alayhi salam came on his way back, passed by the same qabr and saw that the person of the qabr has been forgiven by Allah. So he asked Allah, tell me the reason. He was being punished and now he's been forgiven. So Allah Ta'ala revealed to the Nabi of the time, Isa alayhi salam, and he said that when he passed away, the wife was pregnant. She gave birth after he passed away. And the child grew up. The child went of an age now, went to a religious scholar to start learning the deen. And the religious scholar made the child read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Oh Nabi, I felt ashamed of punishing a person when a small infant child is proclaiming my mercy. I forgave him. Huh? So Allah looks for opportunities to forgive. So we go in Arafat, full expectation Allah is going to forgive us, inshallah. We must make dua for one another also. There's a hadith that Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, whenever you make dua for someone else, the angels say Ameen to that dua. So we make dua for ourselves, our parents, our children, for everyone, for protection, for forgiveness, for righteousness in our deeds, for protection in our country, for things to change in our country, to change in the world, for the ummah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the different parts of the ummah where ummah is being persecuted. We make dua for everything. And we spend our time. Anyway, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent his time in that way until the time came, you know, that towards just before Maghrib, this very beautiful verse was revealed. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. A Jewish scholar met Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه once, and he told him that you have a verse in the Holy Quran that if it was revealed upon us, we would make Eid on that day. So he said, which verse? We related this verse. What does it mean? On that day we completed أكملت لكم, we completed our favors upon you, and we completed religion for you. And we have perfected religion for you. The religion which started from Adam alayhi salam was perfected with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi salam. It wasn't just like finished. You know, somewhere it started from Adam alayhi salam and all of a sudden it got finished. It wasn't a matter of being finished, it was perfected. Like how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi salam said in one hadith, my example and the example of the previous Anbiya is like a beautiful building. People pass that building and say, what a beautiful building, but just one small portion is left not completed still. I am that completed portion of that building which finishes and perfects that building. So nevertheless, that ayat was revealed. So the Hazrat Umar said, it was an Eid for us. Do you know when this ayat was revealed? It was revealed on the day of Arafah, which is the most superior day in the year. It was revealed on a Jummah, which is the most superior day in the week. And it was revealed after Asr, which is the most superior time of the day, just before Maghrib. Three Eids were gathered in this one. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ayat was revealed. And of course I made mention yesterday that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went to Muzdalifah. And on the way, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped to relieve himself. Alright? So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in a remarkable show of emulation, whenever he used to come for Hajj, used to stop on the way to relieve himself. The Nabi relieved himself here. But we don't know those places, so we can't, you know, follow that sunnah. And today we don't know whether we're going to get those bathrooms on the way or not. So Allah knows best, but I'm just giving you. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Muzdalifah. Now Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah had given him remarkable strength. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have stayed the whole night away. But ulama said that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on that night, for the ease of his ummah, slept for a period of time to make it easy for the ummah. If they would have seen him awake, they would not have perhaps been asleep. But everyone was tired. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also slept and then made the wukuf. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent his wives and that at night then to go to Mina because of the crowd. Right? Now that's a different masala. We'll talk about it afterwards if anyone needs explanation with regard to it. Personally, nowadays, with the facilities that has been made, it's not as difficult to pelt the way it was. You know, once upon a time, the elderly and the woman used to dread pelting. And I know I came in 83 and 87. Ya Allah, it's, you know, you wonder whether you're going to come out of there alive or not. That's how the pressure used to be. Maybe Allah Ta'ala knows they've made it easy now, they've made the spillers, etc. So now the pelting is no more as intense and difficult as it used to be. Nevertheless, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, and then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then stayed in Mina. So these were just some of the aspects that try to keep it as brief as possible. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed in Mina. Also, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to give sermons. And one thing that I made mention, I forgot to mention, on the 7th of Zulhijjah, the day before Hajj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave a sermon. And he narrated the aspects of how to perform Hajj. In Mina, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to give a sermon, and miracle, everyone in their tents used to hear Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clearly, without a mic. That was a miracle of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in Mina, one of the things that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention It's something that is very well known. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the people, do you know which place is this? Now they knew it, but they said, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking, is there some wisdom that we are not aware of? They said, Allah and His Rasul knows best. He said, do you know which city it is? They said, Allah and His Rasul knows best. He said, do you know which month it is? Allah and His Rasul knows best. Do you know what day it is? Allah and His Rasul knows best. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is it not the month of Zulhijjah? Yes, it is the month of Zulhijjah. Is it not the place of the Haram near in the vicinity of Bakkah and Mukarramah? Yes. It is not the days of blessedness? Yes. It is the days of sacredness? Yes. The Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the life, the blood, and the honor of every Muslim is as sacred as this particular day, as this particular month, and as this particular place. I ask you sometimes, do we ever consider the blood, the life, the honor of a Muslim as sacred as Makkah and Mukarramah? Huh? Do we ever regard it as sacred? But it is as sacred as Makkah and Mukarramah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then remained in Mina, and then on the 13th, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pelted and went on his way at another place. And there's also Sunnah, but today also we don't even maybe know that place. If we get a chance, I'll try, we'll see if we can get to go to that place. Otherwise, then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back. Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Ali in his kitab has written that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Zamzam water also back to Madinah Munawwarah. So the aspect of taking Zamzam back to your place is also from the Sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Madinah Munawwarah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the Mount of Uhud, and he said, this is a mountain that loves us and we love the mountain. Makkal radiallahu ta'ala, I'm just making it very, very short. Makkal radiallahu ta'ala came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I wanted to join you, I couldn't join you. How do I make up for not being able to join you in Hajj? How can I make up to not join you in Hajj? And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Makkal, you make Umrah in Ramadan, you will get the sawab of making Hajj with me. That's why we come all for Umrah in Ramadan. Huh? People flock here. The crowd in Ramadan was almost three times what it was in Makkah, in Hajj. Huh? Allah Ta'ala knows. So anyway, to make Umrah in Ramadan is very, very meritorious. It comes from this hadith when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned. So these were some of the aspects. I mean, there were many, many instances that I have left out, but just try to keep it as brief as possible. I don't know where we could, we almost exhausted our time. If we get a chance, I'm not sure if people want to gather again tomorrow. We'll see. If whoever is available, tomorrow we talk only about dua. How to make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Because it is the main thing, inshallah. So we will keep the on this today's talk and then make dua, Allah ta'ala grant us and accept the Hajj, inshallah. And tomorrow we'll gather, maybe we'll just keep it more brief because we need to prepare ourselves. So tomorrow we will get together for half an hour, inshallah. Hopefully. Jazakumullah. We can keep any questions.